WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thank you for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. It is National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. For all of us that connect in some way on the internet, some key tips for keeping not only you and your kids safe, but your information safe as well. Joining us this morning is Kelvin Coleman, Executive Director of the National Cybersecurity Alliance. Kelvin, good morning. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Great to be with you.
The theme this year is Own It, Secure It, Protect It. Three important things that we should probably start doing right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, this year's theme really puts an emphasis on personal accountability. And with those three topics, own it, secure it, protect it, it puts it squarely on the individual to do just those things, right? And obviously within each of those topics, you have certain tactics, certain subsets of things you can do to protect yourself and your family.
It feels a lot, Kelvin, like some of this, a good deal of this, is out of our control, whether it's a security breach that we're a victim of or somebody sharing our private information. I know that, and we'll go through some of the key steps here that we can do to start protecting ourselves, but am I alone in feeling that way?
No, well, that is a thought that some people have, but, you know, I sometimes like to compare it to you driving on the road, right? There are certain things within your control that you can do to help protect yourself and those around you. Sometimes you can't account for other drivers, but as far as you can do, there are certain things. And certainly within technology, the same principle applies. Certainly there are rogue actors out there, bad actors who want to do damaging things, but you become a much less of an attractive target if you're able to do some simple things that can, again, help you stay safe and secure while navigating technology or being online. So no, there are certain things that you can do to help control that so that you can feel like you do have some semblance of control over your own information.
I know a lot of the cybersecurity awareness that we're going to talk about here is in conjunction with the Department of Homeland Security, which has been involved in this. I know they've been involved in a number of different areas, securing our elections and doing some other things as well. You mentioned those threat actors. I'm curious, are we making any progress in not only finding all of those threat actors, but keeping them at bay?
We are actually not in my lane, at least not in my current role, sort of did that in my previous role with the government, but we're making tremendous progress. And I'll tell you just one simple thing, one piece of evidence for that is that we're talking, right? Federal government is partnering with state and local governments to really look at this issue and come up with some solutions for it. And so if nothing else, Steve, they've been able to really partner and been able to come up with some solutions to mitigate some of the challenges that come across during the election season and on the election system. So yes, I would say a tremendous amount of progress has been made with the critical, the cybersecurity and infrastructure security agency, CISA, there at the Department of Homeland Security. They're just doing a wonderful job of bringing everyone together to talk about and implement these solutions.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that we can start doing today with cybersecurity. What would be the number one thing you would start with this morning? Would it be making sure you have a safe password? Is that probably the chief among the tips?
So first and foremost, taking an inventory of what you have on hand. Right, I think identify is perhaps the first thing I would advise people to do. Average American owns 7 devices these days, Steve, and next year we know that about 32 billion, that's what it be, billion devices will be connected in some way to the Internet of Things. And so that's a lot of devices out there that will be connected to the network. So taking an inventory of what you have and what information you want to protect, looking at your apps, looking at the various programs that you have running. What do you need? You know, what don't you use anymore? Things of that nature. So identifying is very important in before you do anything else. And, of course, after that, yes, we do advise in terms of making sure you have robust and unique patch phrases, right? Making sure that you're patching your machine. In other words, I think we've all seen where you that pop-up comes up that says, hey, you know, I have an update for the software. You do it now or you do it later. And most of us will hit that later button because we're in the middle of something. We can't be disturbed at that particular time. But we're encouraging people to do it now, right? Update your system and your browser now, software now. And so those two things alone, right, you know, in terms of creating unique and strong passphrases and patching your computer, in addition to taking an inventory or identifying what you have, are some really good steps to helping to secure your information.
I've noticed over the last, especially the last year, that more and more of the places I go to for email and banking, social media, they're pushing multi-factor authentication. This either use your login and a phone number, or you they send you a code. How important is that multi-factor?
Very important, Steve. In fact, that's a part of our own it, secure it, protect it. When you're able to use multi-factor authentication, that's an extra layer of protection or security that you will have. Now, none of these things that we're talking about, right, foolproof, we don't have any sort of foolproof silver bullet that will solve it all. But, you know, when we talk about doing things like enabling multi-factor authentication, that can take you a long way down the road, again, of being less of an attractive target to the bad actors. So whenever possible, yes, we tell people to use multi-factor authentication. In fact, most of the interfaces we have with our devices, with our computers, with websites, allow you to do that. And it really does help you out a great deal in, again, creating that extra layer of security. It may take another second or two, but, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure in this particular day and age. And so taking that second or two to protect yourself, I think, is an absolute needed step that we recommend today.
If you connect it, you must protect it is a good phrase to remember. I like that. And you mentioned the Internet of Things. I recently hooked up a new thermostat in my house to Wi-Fi, and it required a new password. Those are things like that we don't think of needing to protect, but it's important, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, Steve. Again, when you talk about the Internet of Things, you're talking about, you know, your smart device, your smartphone controlling many aspects of your life, right? Your thermostat, security, you know, many people have their appliances hooked up to their phones. In fact, the most technological thing that most people have in their possession is actually probably their car, right? If they've purchased a, you know, 2018, 2019 car, cars today are merely computers with four wheels, right? And so when we talk about the Internet of Things and we talk about all of these various aspects of our lives that are ran through our smart devices or through the Internet of Things, it's absolutely astonishing. Now, I will say it creates a tremendous amount of convenience, which is great. But to your point where you had to put in that password, that's what we advise people to do, to make sure that you and your family agree upon some great passphrase that everyone can remember in the family, but make it very, very difficult for a bad actor to guess, because once they're able to get into, you know, any of those applications that you're using, they can create havoc from there in getting to other things that you don't want them to get into.
One of the things that I think we're just scratching the surface of, and I know this has been in the news a lot lately, is this notion that we've actually let some bad actors into our lives without even knowing it. The apps that we've downloaded onto our phones or mobile devices could be doing things in the background that we really don't want them to be doing. That's another layer of this, isn't it?
Well, two different things there, right? When we talk about letting bad actors in and we don't, we don't necessarily know, right? Obviously, we don't want that. That may generally come from a phishing attack where you get an email with a link and you're clicking on that email and you know, you're not really understanding who it came from or why it came. We advise people, if you don't know it, then don't open it, right? In fact, you can easily verify with the sender, hey, did you actually send this to me? If it looks suspicious, it probably is something that's bad. So that is one thing and a way that bad actors can get into your system. And when we talk about the app, it's a little different that they are sometimes doing things in the background, like surveying your location or continuously updating where you are. We tell people, to go in and you can disable that, right? All the apps will allow you to say, hey, no, I don't want you to follow me at this particular time to recommend, a restaurant or a gas station, or, hey, you're near this studio, the yoga studio. No, you want to disable those things so that you're not being tracked or followed through the app. So we are talking about two different things there. One, the bad actors, they can get in through, again, phishing attacks by sending you a malware in a link. But the apps themselves running in the background, somewhat harmless in terms of what they're trying to do. But if you don't want anybody following you in that particular way, you should disable that.
Yeah, we have a pretty robust IT department here at WGN, and over the last year we've been getting a phishing attack tests of all of us. So we'll get an email that looks pretty good, like it's something that we should be clicking on with the company. And when we click on it, the company says, we got you. Don't do this because it's a phishing attack. It's very easy to be fooled by these things these days.
It really is, and I think kudos to your company, because training and awareness is a big piece of this. It really is. It's not unlike training for fire drill, which we all grew up doing, or unfortunately in today's world, particularly in schools, active shooter drill. Depending on where you stay in the country, you may know the tornado drill or the hurricane drill. It's the same way with technology. Training and awareness, practice, knowing, having a plan and knowing that, you know how to handle these things. And so now you're a bit more, probably a lot more, secure in terms of trying to identify a suspicious email. So, again, kudos to you all for even going through that, because oftentimes we have to convince organizations to do that, right, to train the employees to look for these things. Again, I'll go back to the ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. You have to know that doing these small steps in the beginning can really save you a ton of heartache in the end. So training and awareness, really a key aspect to this.
Yeah, and what we've been talking about this morning, do it for yourself and then do it for your kids and make theirs even stronger.
Absolutely, particularly for children, right? Because they are, they were born with technology around them and use it so carefree. We have to remind them, though, that you have to be secure when you use these things. My very own children, I have to often remind them to make sure they're using their passwords and make sure that they're not sharing their passwords with anyone. Make sure they're updating their computer. So we talk about it as a family, right? And to your point about, making sure you're helping kids, just like you would talk to them about anything else, stranger danger on the street or some physical, potential physical danger, you talk to them in the same way about technology. It's all about communicating. And that is a form of training and awareness, right? Just on the family level, to give you a little bit more comfort when using technology.
Kelvin, we appreciate you being with us this morning. Thanks for all of the advice and analysis. We thank you for getting up and joining us.
Oh, I can't thank you enough. Love the folks there in Chicagoland. And look forward to getting there soon to see you guys in person.
All right, Kelvin, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Kelvin Coleman, Executive Director of the National Cybersecurity Alliance, National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. You can find them online at staysafeonline.org with some more tips to keep yourself and your kids safe for Cybersecurity Awareness Month.